Welcome to HonestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we're going to be presenting the second part in our two-part series that we have titled The Murder of the Innocent, The Abomination of Abortion, a scriptural presentation against abortion. I want to remind you that we have a website that we call earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. And for this particular presentation, we have a 32 to 35 page presentation that documents a lot of the data as it relates to abortion. And that particular document is uploaded to our website. If you go to the main page, you'll find links to an abortion page, and you go into that and you'll find that data. Now, these two particular parts are an updated presentation of the scriptural argument against abortion. Now, what we're going to be focused on today is that when someone commits an abortion, they are shedding innocent blood. In closing our last session, we stated that those who perform abortions are shedding innocent blood. Now we're going to pick back up there. Most references to innocent blood in the Old Testament are references to the blood of babies and children. Israel and Judah had joined up with the pagan nations around them that were killing their babies to honor their satanic gods. Nothing has changed today. Pagans are still sacrificing their children to satanic gods. Perhaps the greatest pagan god today is the god of abortion. In this pantheon of gods is the god of my desires, the god of self-indulgence, the god of unnatural affection, the god of convenience, the god of self and self-esteem, the god of adultery, the god of fornication, the god of sodomy, the god of same-sex marriages, and the god of drugs and alcohol. If the baby gets in the way of my wildest lust and dreams, just kill the baby. Folks, abortion is contrary to God, who is love. Abortion is contrary to the Bible and to God's law. Abortion is contrary to natural affection. Any mother who can kill her baby is without natural affection. We see that identified in that idea of natural affection identified in Romans 1, verse 31, and also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. Abortion is not an act of love or concern. Abortion is state-sanctioned murder. For a mother to kill her own baby, whether in the womb or out of the womb, is satanic. Abortion is a harbinger of the great tribulation, for neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication. That's Revelation chapter 9, verse 21. The root cause of abortion is fornication. Let me repeat that. The root cause of abortion is fornication. I believe that much of the murders referred to in Revelation 9, verse 21, is worldwide abortion. In 2008, at least 43,800,000 babies were aborted worldwide. Now, let us turn to Exodus chapter 21, and we'll read verses 22 and 23. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Let me repeat that. And if any mischief follow, thou shalt give life for life. That's Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. The fruit that is referred to here in Exodus 21 is the baby that is in her womb. What the phrase no mischief means is that if the baby does not die. If the miscarried baby did not die, then the person who called a miscarriage was subject to be punished as prescribed by the husband and the judges. If the woman's baby died, then the person who caused the miscarriage had to be put to death. In other words, life for life. That means that if an abortionist takes the life of a baby, then he is a murderer who should be put to death according to the Bible. That does not happen in America because the murder of abortion has become state-sanctioned murder of the innocents throughout the United States. It is not illegal for the abortionist to murder an unborn baby in America. American laws are justifying the acts of the wicked. Exodus 23, verse 7 states this, "Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and the righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked." Now, what I want to point out here before we go any further, and I was very careful to do this in our first presentation, I want to point out to you again, we are not advocating physical violence of any sort against either the individual having an abortion or the abortionists themselves. But we are advocating that the state has a duty under God's law to enforce God's law as it concerns the murder of the innocents. God says he will not hold guiltless the person that slays an innocent or righteous person. Numbers 35 deals further with the death penalty for murder. In Numbers 35, verse 16, we have this, "And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death." That's Numbers chapter 35, verse 16. The question I have for you is this, is the metal forceps that the partial birth abortionist drives into the skull of an innocent baby in the womb an instrument of iron? Of course it is. Is it gruesome and murderous when the abortionist drives a forceps into the skull and opens up a hole so that he can backen the baby's brains out? Of course it is. This is a painful and gruesome procedure for the baby that has to suffer through it. How can the reprobate that performs such an unconscionable procedure sleep or live with themselves? It is because he is of the devil. A partial birth abortion is a late-term procedure normally performed in the late second to third trimester of the pregnancy. There is an earlier term procedure used by those devils that they refer to as D&E abortion, or it's called dilation and extraction abortion. It is just as ungodly, wicked, vile, and inhumane as the partial birth abortion. A baby is a person. A baby is a person. A baby is a person. A baby is not a fetus. The Bible says this in Numbers chapter 35, verses 30 and 31. "Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death." Listen. "Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death." What verse 31 is saying is that there will be no money or bribe paid to keep the murderer from being put to death. In other words, there is no justification for premeditated murder. God deals with Israel nationally in Deuteronomy chapter 12. He forewarns them about the consequences of following after the heathen and becoming entangled in their customs. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 12, starting in verse 29. "When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whether thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. That's Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. God warns the nation of Israel that he considers the heathen practice of sacrificing their children to their gods to be an abomination to him. God also says that he hates their practice of sacrificing their children to their gods. Now let's go and look in our Bibles at Deuteronomy chapter 19, where we're going to read verses 10 through 13. Verse 10, that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. But if any man hate his neighbor, and lie in wait for him, and rise up against him, and smite him mortally, that he die, and fleeth into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence, and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of the blood, that he may die. Thine eye shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. That's Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 10 through 13. God here warns the nation of Israel that if they do not deal with the crime of murder by putting the murderer to death, that it will not go well with them as a nation. In these verses, the innocent blood that is referred to is not the blood of a child. These scriptures deal with the establishment of cities of refuge for those who accidentally kill somebody. God here refers to the individual who is involved in an actual accidental death as having innocent blood. The passage also deals with people who lie in wait to commit premeditated murder. God says to put away the guilt of the innocent blood by using the death penalty. Any abortionist is a premeditated murderer and must not be offered refuge by the state, and yet our government has not only legalized premeditated murder, but they have actively promoted it by providing government funds to the executioners of the innocent. Because of that, it will not go well with America, folks, and it has not gone well with America. America is under the judgment of God for a number of things, and this particular issue of abortion is one of the major issues that are involved in that judgment. Now let's go and look at Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 25, where it says this, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, amen. That's Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 25. Based upon that verse, I can tell you that the abortionist or any other hit man or hit woman is under the curse of God for having taken money for killing an innocent baby. And folks, it goes without saying that the baby's innocent. The murder of babies in America is all about money. The murder of babies in America is all about money. An abortionist is no different than the hitman that will take money for using a bullet to blow someone's brains out. I think about the only way the pro-abortion lobby in America would raise an objection to even the most heinous form of abortion is if you used a gun to perform the abortion. That's how warped and wicked they are. The whole wolf pack of pro-abortionists is a bunch of ungodly, reprobate devils. Now let's go and look our Bibles at 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 16. And we're going to talk about probably the most wicked murderer or murdering king in the history of the kings of Israel and Judah. Verse 16, 2 Kings 21. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin, and doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. That's 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 16. Next up we have 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. That's 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Now these verses in 2 Kings chapters 21 and 24 deal with God's punishment upon Judah for their sin of offering their sons and daughters to the pagan gods throughout the city of Jerusalem. This practice was pushed by Manasseh, the most wicked king ever in Judah. Manasseh actually sacrificed his own son to the pagan gods. Here, once again, in these two chapters, God condemns the practice of killing innocent babies. Now let's go and look at Psalm 106, and we're going to read verses 34 through 40 of that psalm. Verse 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. Now we're talking about Israel here. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. Folks, if there ever was a description of America and its ungodly embrace of the murder of the innocent, these verses in Psalm 106 are it. What America has done and is doing in the murder of its sons and daughters is much more abominable to God than what Israel is indicted for here in Psalm 106. America is much more culpable and deserving of condemnation than Israel, because we have the light of the glorious gospel shine down on us like no other nation in the history of the world. We should be held to a higher standard than even God's chosen people. The blood of millions upon millions of innocents screams up from American soil. The blood of millions upon millions of innocents screams up from American soil. America deserves to be given the cup of the wine of the fierceness of God's wrath. America has gone a-whoring after idols of her own invention that she uses to justify the mass murder of the innocents. We have a God that we have made in our own image. Our God is ourselves. Perhaps the greatest pagan God today is the God of abortion. And in the American pantheon of gods is the God of my desires, the God of self-indulgence, the God of unnatural affection, the God of convenience, the God of self and self-esteem, the God of adultery, the God of fornication, the God of sodomy, the God of same-sex marriages, and the God of drugs and alcohol. The God of convenience says it is a whole lot easier to kill the baby, to murder the baby, than to raise him. The God of convenience mocks sacrificial love. God hates the conduct of America, folks. Let me repeat that. God hates the conduct of America. Let's go and reread Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17 repeated. Any questions? Now let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. That's Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. This scripture is quite plain and very easy to understand. Let us make a little application. The just are those innocents who come under the condemnation and the murder, under condemnation and murder by the wicked, who justify themselves under the ungodly cloak of the law of the land. The Supreme Court or any legislature that hands down a decision or makes a law justifying the murder of the innocents is an abomination to the Lord, because they are legalizing that which God has called an abomination. The Supreme Court or any legislature that hands down a decision or makes a law justifying the murder of the innocents is an abomination to the Lord, because they are legalizing that which God has called an abomination. The following scripture is yet another description and condemnation of those that shed innocent blood. Let's go and look at Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 8. Verse 1, Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood. Listen to it again. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath murdered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are the works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. That's Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 8. The abortionist's hands are defiled with innocent blood, and violence is in their hands. The fingers of the hands of the abortionist are defiled with iniquity. Perverseness is in their hearts and in their lips. They lie about the pain that their murderers caused the innocent baby that they stabbed to death, and pull apart limb by limb and crush them head by head. The wasting and destruction of life is their path. What unbelievable monsters Margaret Sanger, Adolf Hitler, and the devil is really proud of them. One of the most amazing and contradictory facts that I ran into while conducting this study on abortion was a statement in one of the articles I read that said 18.1% of those having abortions done claim to be evangelical Christians. You think about that, folks. They claim to be Christians. I have great difficulty in believing that statement. According to 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, and Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15, anyone who is a murderer has some very serious eternal spiritual issues. These verses state the following. 1 John 3, 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Next up, Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. These two passages indicate that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in them, and that murderers cannot enter into New Jerusalem. I do not believe that most women who have abortions are saved to start with. Neither do I believe that most parents, grandparents, and individuals that would encourage somebody to get an abortion are saved. I know that the statement which I am about to make will not be well received. I also know the National Right to Life Committee would say that I should not make this statement because they advocate using the word killing rather than the word murder. I disagree with that position. Killing is an action taken in self-defense, whereas murder is an act done in violation of God's laws against the murdering of the innocent. Willing participation in an abortion is an act of murder for the mother, the father who consents to it, and the individuals performing the abortion. What we have in the United States abortion laws is legalized or state-sanctioned murder of babies. While those performing abortions cannot be legally charged with murder, their actions unequivocally fit the biblical definition of murder. I also realize that many young mothers, including teenagers, are either manipulated into or forced into abortions. The fact that they are manipulated into it or forced into it does not change the fact that abortion meets the biblical definition of murder. We as Christians must deal with an act of abortion by young mothers, including teenagers, in love. The act of abortion is not an unforgivable sin. Let me emphasize that again. The act of abortion is not an unforgivable sin. Two of the greatest saved men in the Bible were guilty of murder. Those two men were David and Paul, both of whom will be in heaven. However, there are spiritual, mental, and physical consequences of abortion that must be dealt with by the mother aborting a child. There are many secular and Christian studies on abortion that deal with those issues. Before forgiveness from God can be granted, there must be an acknowledgement and a confession to God that abortion is murder. In most cases, this is an issue of salvation. There must be an attitude of sorrowful repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. While abortion in and of itself will not send you to hell, if you do not get forgiveness for it through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that will send you to hell. If you've had an abortion or are considering an abortion, please turn to the Lord Jesus Christ before it is too late. There is forgiveness in salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ can and does save some women who kill their babies. Please don't murder your unborn baby. So, why are we here at this point in American history? Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, and Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32, explain to us why we are here. They can shed a little light on why we have reached this point in America where no sin, no matter how wicked, seems to bother us. Because we have rejected God, America is fast descending into the graveyard of nations. I want you to read the following scriptures and weep. Amos chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That's Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Next up, we read what is one of the strongest condemnations in the Word of God to those who have rejected God and have been turned over to a reprobate mind. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Whereof God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I want you to listen to in here in verses 29 through 32 what happens, and it gets worse and worse as the downfall goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And starting in verse 29, being filled with all, these folks have been turned over to reprobate minds. Let me remind you of that. Verse 29, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, and here's the key, folks, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Folks, we are where we are in America because we have rejected the Word of God and God himself, and have become vain in our own imaginations. I want to remind you in closing that a woman that can kill one of her children, a baby that she is carrying in her womb, and it not bother her, she has a seared conscience, and she needs to repent of that sin of murdering that baby. I would encourage you to take the time to go back and take both of these audio recordings and go back through them again. But we have also uploaded the document that we used to prepare this particular two-part series to our website. And we want to thank you for joining us today.